Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. Today's show is all about learning the hard way, having the right mindset, and how not to run your business by the bank account. What does that mean? Let's find out. So I'm joined in the studio today by the magnificent Maria Ettridge, co-director at Diamond Accounting based in Totten. Maria, welcome to the studio. How are you doing?
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be here today. Thanks for the big build-up as well.
Oh, you're most welcome. I've been really excited to get you on a guest. I know we've been trying for the last few weeks, and I'm just so excited you're here and you're able to join us in the studio today on this beautiful day. So let's kick off, shall we? Let's kick off. So you're an accountant by trade and, of course, co-director over at Diamond Accounting.
Yep, that's correct. So I own the business with my business partner, Megan, and we've built Diamond up. Firm of accountants heavily focused on the bookkeeping side, offering pretty much all services.
So. Yeah, what is it Diamond Accountant does for its clients? Give us a little bit of an insight.
I like to think we're very proactive with our clients. We are very heavily focused on mindset and growing your business. We specialise in the Xero software, which means it's all online, as in cloud-based, so you've got that interaction. And we really encourage a business owner to push their business further.
Yeah, brilliant. Which is interesting when you say about mindset, because in part two of the show, you're going to be taking us through a very special mantra that you've used on a number of occasions. We won't spoil it, though. We'll keep that to part two. And with Diamond Accounting, you guys are particularly good or strong in the hospitality industry. Is that right?
Yeah, I absolutely love hospitality. It's probably my favourite industry. It's the one that's struggling the most at the moment, and there is a bit of a story behind why we're both so skilled in the hospitality industry.
I look forward to learning a little bit more about that. So what does an average day look like for Maria, as you know, being the director? I imagine with staff it's hectic, especially round year end and tax years and things like that. What's an average day look like for you?
I think every day is quite different. We come in with great intentions and the day sort of takes over. We normally start with a team brief.
I think there's a lot of people out there that are going, yeah, that sounds just like me.
Yeah, so we normally start off with a team brief. The standard is to clear down all the client bank accounts on Xero because it's live data. So keeping their data completely up to date is the first job. Taking client calls so the day can go in any direction. Very busy, obviously, around tax year end. We've seen a massive shift this year. We are normally chasing clients for paperwork. September, come on, self-assessments. This year, people are chasing us. There's a real shift. It's the first time we've ever seen it. And I think that's a result of COVID and people are very nervous about money at the moment.
So they want to know their position. They want to know kind of where they're at, what their liabilities might be.
Absolutely. They want to know what's coming up in January 24, what they've got to pay and allowing for it. So a real change this year.
It's fantastic. I was looking at your customer reviews earlier, just doing a bit of research. And it's just, honestly, there's so much love for Diamond Accounting. So it's pretty clear you guys, A, know what you're doing, and B, customer service seems like right at the forefront for you guys.
I think it's so important. I do think accountants often lose sight of that. I think accountants can be quite a rare sort of a strange breed, and most people speak to me and say, I can't believe you're an accountant. I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but yes, I think customer service all the way.
Good. Right, I want to delve into your personal business journey, which of course is what the show's about. And I think it's fair to say that you've had some ups and downs throughout the years in terms of your own personal business journey. Maybe you could take us back to the start. You know, where did it all begin?
Well, I was probably a very rebellious child. If I didn't get my own way or I didn't get what I wanted, I would self-destruct, as in almost try to punish other people, but it kind of backfired on me. Probably the biggest thing with my parents moving to Cadnam when I was 15 took me away from all my friends. So my payback was I'll just fail all my exams.
Did you sort of go out of your way to prove a point?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it's quite destructive.
So what happened after that then? Because you trained as an accountant from quite a young age, 18, was it? 18?
Yeah, I did. I mean, my next rebellious stage was to have my daughter at 18. To be fair, best thing I've ever done. But in hindsight, I was a baby with a baby. And then obviously realised I needed to change my life. And then when I went to a careers place, found that I didn't have any qualifications to get on any courses. So I had to go back to night school, and I decided to be an accountant because I paid the best money.
Yeah. Well, there's probably, again, a lot of people out there that are thinking, you know, wise move.
Yeah.
People are always going to need an accountant.
They always are. And it is quite a highly paid profession if you qualify. So
sure.
Yeah.
So you got qualified, then what?
I got qualified, had some amazing jobs, worked my way up, really, really senior to finance director within industry. And I think the higher I went, the less I enjoyed my job role.
Okay.
Couldn't really make a difference in the corporate world. It's quite rigid. So I set my own company up. Head for Figures was the first one I created and did incredibly well. Grew the business massively with focus in all the wrong areas. I did not do the right things.
Too busy doing the wrong things.
Absolutely. And I think I see that in a lot of business owners now. They're too focused on all the wrong things, not the right stuff.
Sure. I suppose it's always good to have a bit of outside perspective sometimes.
Oh, definitely. I didn't focus on contracts of employment or sort of contracts for clients, and probably lost 80% of work overnight through two members of staff, through my poor management. So that was a big wake-up call for me, and I should have done the right thing. And that's what I've learned in business. You need to change path quickly, and I didn't. I went and bought a pub. Another rebellious side.
Okay, first question, why? Why did you buy a pub?
I think it kind of appealed to me. I think there was a bit of reasoning behind it, that I didn't have the sort of motivation to grow another accountancy firm. I knew I was financially a bit out of my depth because of what had happened in Head for Figures. It kind of put a roof over my head, could rent my very big, massive house out. So there kind of was a plan behind it, but I had no experience in hospitality, none at all.
No.
And I did it in the recession when all the pubs were closing. Great idea.
So what happened? So you bought the pub.
I bought the pub, and within 12 months, I realised I was so out of my depth. I didn't understand the tie, and I was seriously in a lot of debt by then. And I think that 12 months, once I'd then realised I could negotiate pricing with the breweries, do things different, it was too late. I never managed to get out of the debt I was in, and it just spiralled over that right up until 2015, which was a very pivotal moment in my life.
And it's strange, really, isn't it? Because obviously Diamond Accounting, you guys have an incredibly, you know, you've got a lot of expertise when it comes to the hospitality industry. Mm-hmm. And I suppose where you owned a pub and it didn't quite work out as you'd planned.
No.
But in a way, it's kind of giving you this really unique perspective and sort of firsthand experience of if you were to own a pub, what you shouldn't do.
Absolutely. And I think specialising in hospitality, which is what we originally did, we found we had a unique set of skills, both myself and my business partner, because she'd run the pub with me. There are not many accountants that know the industry inside out like we do.
Yeah.
So we kind of specialised in that. That was our original plan.
Absolutely. So how long have you been working with your co-director, Megan?
I met Megan when she was 17. So she's 31 now, and she was part of a Head for Figures. She was part of the pub, and we formed Diamond together. So she's been on this journey with me. So
absolutely. And how many members of staff have you got at Diamond Accounting now?
We've got 6, and we're about to go up to 7. So we've grown quite rapidly, to be fair. We grew so much during COVID. I think because I had so much empathy for people being in debt, people being very scared, we had nothing else to do but work, and we helped a lot of people for free. And those people stuck with us. We grew the business phenomenally during lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. How was it sort of, you know, throughout COVID and coming out of COVID? Have you just continually got busier?
We got busier. I think we thought we'd come out of COVID and the clients that were working with us that we'd helped out would return to who they were with before, but they didn't. They all stayed and then recommended us. So the business actually grew even further when we came out of COVID, which we didn't really expect at the time, but it's been fabulous.
Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic. Well, you said to me earlier, because I want to talk about sort of success and failure. And you said, Matt, you know what? You can't have success without failure. What did you mean by that?
I always think when I look back at what happened with the Head for Figures and what happened with the pub, I felt almost ashamed that I'd failed in business and therefore I couldn't be a business owner. And I've since learned that failure, you don't fail, you learn. It's simple. And to have massive success, you have to have massive failure. And the more books I've read, you look at the really big entrepreneurs, millionaires, etc., they've all failed many, many times along the way. So I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, you probably share that again with a lot of the listeners. You know, if you don't try, then you're very unlikely to succeed, I suppose. Is that something you try and instill within the culture at Diamond Accounting? You know, it's okay to, you know, fail as long as you learn from it.
Absolutely. I mean, if you fail at something and you keep repeating the same mistake, then yeah, obviously that's not a great idea. But failure, absolutely. What did you learn from it? And taking responsibility. Once I took responsibility for the mistakes I'd made in business, my life changed. When I was in that blame culture, then it didn't. So I'd say to anyone, take responsibility, look at what you did. What can you do differently next time?
Absolutely. I mean, just going back to your business journey, you know, even potentially before the pub, you know, you were kind of working at a really high level. You had it all in some regards. And then to sort of lose it all, that must have been really, really tough. And to sort of pick yourself up and go, right, okay, I'm going to dust myself off. I'm going to crack on. What was it? What was that like?
To be fair, I think 2015, when I'd gone from, you know, a massive house, a massive income, beautiful cars, horses, holidays, a lot, yep, to literally having nowhere to live, no job, no money, no car. It was scary. And I think you've got two choices. You either completely wallow in your own self-pity and self-destruct and kind of go off the rails, or you really pull yourself together. And I decided to pull myself together and consistently work day in, day out to rebuild my life. And I have done.
Yeah, what an inspiration. I've listened to a few of your talks and bits and pieces at various networking events, and I come away thinking, God, wow, what a breath of fresh air. Like, I need to be doing exactly that. That's kind of where I need to be, which I suppose that whole thing kind of leads us on to, you know, the importance of mindset and having that right mindset. How important is having the right mindset in business?
I think it's everything. And I think that's one thing that makes a slightly difference to accountants is we'll talk about numbers and everything else, but we also talk a lot about mindset.
Okay.
I'll recommend books for people to read, really encourage them, get them to see things from a different perspective. We had a client before that she'd grown her business a lot. We'd worked with her a lot and she'd gone back registered and she was distraught over it. We were like, you need to be celebrating this. You've hit the threshold. And we sent her a huge bouquet of flowers. She changed her mindset and she's flying. She's now bought a second salon. She's doing incredible.
Amazing. Yeah. And it's tough though, isn't it? Because when you're in that sort of negative mindset, it can be quite difficult to pull yourself out of it.
Absolutely. I think when you're in that negative mindset, you know, sort of your low vibration, you attract low stuff. It's all about high vibration, manifest what you want and really go for it, and consistency all day long.
Is that something you do on a daily basis?
Yes, absolutely. Gratitude. I was not grateful when I had my life before, and then it got taken away from me. Now I am grateful every single day for everything I have.
So actually in a way, losing everything and having to sort of rebuild from scratch, do you think you're almost a better version of yourself?
Absolutely. I love that saying. That's one of my favourites. Be the best version of you.
Well, look, we're out of time for part one, but if you're listening, please stay with us because we're going to take a short break. But in part two, we're going to be getting a bit interactive. Maria is going to be taking us through her proven mantra for helping you set goals and also getting into the right mindset so that you can effectively achieve anything. So stay tuned. We're going to take a short break now with some music and we'll be right back for part two.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I'm joined in the studio by Maria Ettrich from Diamond Accounting. Maria, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Good. Great first part of the show. Absolutely loved it. Yep. And now it's going to get really exciting because this is the part of the show that's all about your mantra, which is called Help Nick.
Yep.
Now, before we go into that, what I'm going to suggest is anybody out there that might be listening to the show, grab yourself a piece of paper and a pen, because we want you guys to follow along with this mantra. You're going to write some stuff down, and we hope that this is going to give you the tools that you need to make decisions better and also get you in the right mindset. So Maria, over to you. Let's introduce Help Nick.
Okay, I think for me, this is probably a section of my life I really enjoy. Anything around personal development.
Definitely, yeah.
Really, really big on that. And I got this Help Nick from a personal training book. So PT, I'm a firm believer, fit body, fit mind, you'll be fitter in business. So and I've changed some of the words kind of to meet goal setting, if you like. So whenever I've got something new I want to start or a new goal, then I'll write this down, Help Nick, and make sure that I can hit all the targets, if it makes sense. Is this something I really want to do? Mm. So I'll talk you through each of the letters.
Yeah, please do. I'm ready. I've got a pen. I'm at the
Have you written it down?
Yeah.
So eight, hungry.
Okay.
So for me, if you are going to start a new goal, a new business, whether it's a weight loss journey, it could be anything, you've got to be hungry for it. You've got to really, really want it. Because if you don't, you're never going to stick to it. Because with anything you do in life, there's going to be tough times. There's going to be hard times. If you're training for a marathon, it's not going to be fun. You're going to be up in the rain, 6 o'clock in the morning when you don't want to do it or when you're overtired. You've got to really, really want it. If you're a bit peckish, could kind of do it, that's not going to work. So you've got to really want it. Really, really hunger for
it's a really
what you
good,
want to achieve.
Yeah, it's a really good sense check, isn't it? You can say, mm-hmm. how much do I want this?
Absolutely, because if it's like, well, I'd kind of like it will never happen. You've got to really want something, and I think that's what gives you the drive. So H, I think, is a starting point when you're doing anything, and it can be, like I say, a fitness goal, a weight loss goal, a new business, a change in business, but start off with, am I really hungry for this?
Brilliant.
Starving.
Yep. Love it. Okay. I can't wait. What's the next letter?
E is for energy. If you don't have energy for something, then you're never going to pursue it. Because like I said, when you're pursuing anything, you will always hit those bumpy roads, the tough times. That's when your energy's got to kick in. You've got to really want to do it. Enthusiasm is another word you could use instead. If you're energetic for something, enthusiastic for something, you're going to go for it. And you're going to do it when the times are tough. That's what's going to keep you going, push you through.
Absolutely. So a quick sense check would be kind of, you know, you'd ask yourself, right, have I got the energy? Have I got the mental capacity? Have I got the time? Have I got the energy to be able to do what it is I'm setting myself the goal of, yeah?
Absolutely. And don't talk yourself out of it. Because we often do this, it's getting outside of our comfort zones. We're like, yeah, we're going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then we have a wobble of, oh, I don't think I can. And then we don't. But you'll only regret things in life that you don't do.
Totally agree.
I like the next one. L, look the part. Walk the walk. Fake it till you make it, or fake it till you become it is an expression I really like. The fact is, if you start acting the way you want to be in life, you will then start attracting what it is you want to achieve. I think it's so important that if you want to be a business owner, then start acting and looking like a business owner. So if you want to be a PT, then make sure you're super fit, because it's looking the part of what you want to do will give you the mindset of, say, do you know what, I can actually do this. And it stops that imposter syndrome of like, oh, I can't do this, and talking yourself out of things. So definitely look the part, fake it till you become it.
Yeah, love it. Okay, on to the next one then.
P, positive mindset all day long. If you haven't got the right mindset, it will always hold you back. I think fear is the biggest thing that holds people back.
Sure, yeah.
And working on that, there's tons and tons of personal development books you can read to really get you that positive mindset that you can achieve anything. I think that was a lot that held me back when I was going through that tough time because of my age, because I am older, that I've left it too late. I've screwed my life up too late. And once I lost that and got that positive mindset of, like, you know, you hear people becoming millionaires when they're 80, and anything is achievable. Age is just a number. So get that positive mindset and really go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes so much sense. So that's the help part.
Yeah. So now we've got the help. Now we've got the Nick. So N is for no. And do you know what? It's probably one of the hardest ones. I used to be a little bit of a people pleaser. So I would say yes to things I didn't really want to do, or yes to things that took me away from my goals, for fear of not wanting to upset anyone or let anyone down. Learning to say no is so powerful. Like I say, if you want to lose weight, I mean, that's the one of the biggest ones. I was, you know, it's a kind of something a lot of people want to do. And then they get invited out for dinner, and then it's a birthday party, then it's a christening, then it's this. I'm not saying don't go, but have the confidence to say, no, thank you, I've bought my own food, or no, I don't want a piece of cake. And it's, if you stop people pleasing, no becomes so much easier, and it's so empowering when you say no.
Absolutely, especially for anyone out there that might have, you know, maybe they've recently started a business. It can be so easy to say yes to all of the work.
Absolutely. And I think when I started off, we did that, particularly in a heavy figures. And even so, I think in Diamond, when we first started out, we would just accept people. And over the last couple of years, we've actually given clients some notice that you're not the right fit for our business, for whatever reason. And we've walked away from a couple of very large contracts because it was the right thing to do for our business. So it's learning to say no. And sometimes you meet a client and you have that initial meeting with them, and you think, we're not going to be the right fit. So it's almost saying, you know, it's not going to work with us, but we can recommend somebody else for you. So it's learning to say no in all areas of your life. Definitely no.
That is a top tip, isn't it?
Definitely.
What's next? What's I?
Well, I is inspirational and imagination. This is a funny one, actually, because I actually put on a WhatsApp chat to my family, can anyone think of an inspirational word beginning with I? Which is quite worrying. And when I got all these people coming back saying inspired, I was like, oh yeah, that's a great word. It's worrying. Inspirational and imagination. If you're setting a goal and you're not inspired by what you're about to do, you're not going to stick to it.
Definitely
be asking yourself, does this really inspire me? Does it tick all those boxes? Can I use my imagination to what I want to achieve here?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Does it sort of get the fire in the belly going? You know, is it something that you can feel you're going to be passionate about?
Absolutely. You've got to be inspired by your goal. If it's a bit, well, it's a kind of nice to have kind of thing, you won't stick to it.
No. And it's funny, hearing you say some of these things, you think, God, that sounds so obvious. And you think, if only I'd thought of that when I maybe tackled that, or I set myself that goal, or the, you know, the classic New Year's resolutions.
Oh, I love those. So many people set them. And I think it's something like 15 days after New Year, most people fail on their New Year's resolutions. And that's because it was,
they didn't have help, Nick.
They didn't have it. They didn't write it all down.
Oh, I love that. I think that's absolutely brilliant. So I's for inspiration or imagination.
Absolutely.
What about C?
C is for commit. And I would say, I think when people set themselves a goal, they are very focused on the end result. So let's just say you want to run a marathon. So you imagine crossing the finishing line and everyone cheering. And that's, you know, that fantastic feeling, that's brilliant. But what about the training? What about getting up at 5 a.m, running in the rain? What about finishing work late at night and you're so tired, but you know you have to train? If you start looking at all those areas, then you will look at how committed you're going to be. And if you don't commit 100%, it goes wrong. And sometimes you've got to commit even when you feel like, this is a little bit nerve-wracking. I had an incident recently. I fell off a bike. Really silly. But there was a big bump in the road and I was like, I don't think I can. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Yeah, I can. Too late. Came off the bike. And my friend said, how did you fall off a bike? And I said, you know what? I didn't commit.
Didn't commit.
Simple. Literally.
I can relate to that. I spend a lot of time on my bike. I can completely relate to that.
Commit all day long. If you don't commit, it will not work.
It's such a good sense check, this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps you think, oh, God, yeah. You know, now I'm in the right mindset. What's the last? Oh, we haven't done the last. What's the last one?
The last one. Great one. Kick ass. Oh. You've got to have a kick ass attitude. Absolutely all day long. I think if you can be ballsy, particularly in business, kick ass, then you can go a long way, because it's standing your ground. It's holding your own. It's believing in yourself is, for me, what the kick ass attitude is. And particularly being a woman in business, sometimes it can be hard. But we're a complete female team, not by any intention, but we are, apart from Josh, who's about to join, he's so outnumbered, we are literally a female team. kick-ass girls.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, yeah, I feel empowered just by sort of going through that now. So hopefully there's been some people out there that have written that down.
I hope so. Because for me, it really works. But everything I want to do, I will look down at Help Nick and think, right, is this really what I want to do? And go through each of the stages. And then once I get to the, yeah, I can, I'll do it, I'll go for it, and I'll achieve it.
That's the thing, because once you run through those different steps, it might be you run through and go, actually, no, I'm not going to do that. Or it might be, yeah, I'm ticking all those boxes. And also, you're then in the right mindset to crack on.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you look at it and think, do you know what? I'm not ticking all those boxes. Maybe this isn't the goal for me. And then you'll come up with something different. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not. What's the most important letter in that mantra for you?
Oh, it's got to be the no. Learning to say no for me was life-changing. No to situations, no to lots of things, no to clients. Being bold enough to say no as well, and not being that people pleaser.
Absolutely. Have you got any tips in terms of the best way for people to remind them of this? Do they stick it on the fridge? What do they do? What do they do?
I stick it on the fridge. I stick it on a mirror. I like to journal every day. So it's easy for me if I'm going to set a new goal. It's right in the front of my book. And I can apply this. But definitely put things, you know, where you can see them. Because it just kind of like sticks in your mind then, if you like.
Yeah, because otherwise it's out of sight, out of mind.
Absolutely. You'll write it down, chuck it in a drawer, forget all about it.
That's absolutely brilliant. We're just going to take another short break. But Maria, you know, I think that's been transformational. And hopefully the listeners there can take this mantra and use it to achieve great things, to be honest with you. We're going to take a short break, but don't go away, because in part three, it's that bit of the show where we delve into some of the challenges that yeah. you faced, not only in your own business journey, but of course, you're going to be sharing some insights in terms of some of the challenges that some of the businesses that you've helped along the way have perhaps faced.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we can benefit from some of that experience too.
Super.
Don't go anywhere.
Live and local. Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people, and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception, and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then, so I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston, by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called VisoSport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for VisoSport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice FM.
So we're in the studio with Maria from Diamond Accounting, based in Totten. Maria, how are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good, 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 good. So, you know, you've basically, your business journey has been full of absolute ups and downs. And of course, you know, working for Diamond Accounting, I'm sure you've seen some of your clients, of course, you know, absolute booming businesses. And then contrast that with, you know, some businesses that might not have made it. And in this part of the show, what I'm quite keen on doing is delving into some of those challenges that, you know, you faced along the way. And also maybe we can benefit from some of the experience that you've had through, you know, Diamond Accounting. So let's dig in, shall we? Let's dive in.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm still thinking about the Help Nick mantra that we covered in part two. I'm still in that kind of empowered state. I've got to be honest with you.
Excellent.
it was really good. So I suppose, like you say, from the businesses that you've helped in your time, sort of, you know, with Diamond Accounting, what's some of the common pitfalls or challenges that businesses out there have faced, you know, as they're sort of operating day to day and trying to succeed?
I think, like you said, my business has been, well, my life has been a bit of a roller coaster. Mm. So you kind of learn from where you've gone wrong.
Sure.
So when I work with a client, I can see some of the pitfalls that I had sort of done, if you like.
Yeah.
So you can see that they've got a lot of emphasis. Maybe they've got one main customer, that's a recipe for disaster.
All the eggs in one basket.
Absolutely. They haven't got the right processes in place. They haven't got the right contracts. They're just not doing the right things. So you can have a business that's growing and booming, but it's working with that business owner to say, look, I've been there and this can go really wrong if you don't do the following, and try and, you know, to mentor them, if you like, to go in the right direction, do the right things, start focusing on the right things.
Yeah. What's the, I suppose anyone out there that's thinking, oh, do you know what? Yeah. Most of my business comes from a single customer.
Yeah.
What should they be doing? Should they be spreading the risk? Maybe trying to
absolutely. You don't have a business if you have one customer, because if that customer changes their mind, where's the business? There isn't one. So it's having the right mix and focusing on that. So you don't want to put all your time into just one customer. You need a broad range.
Absolutely. Something else I know that you've talked a lot about in the past, and that's about businesses that seem to run their business from their bank account.
Absolutely. I see this all the time. And to be fair, I fell foul of that when I first started off in business. You look at the bank account, it's got lots of money. Business are great. Fantastic. Next minute, look at the bank account, there's no money, and you think that everything's gone wrong. But it doesn't work like that, because you need to allow for, you know, VAT going out, your corporation tax, or your sole trader, your self-assessment money. Maybe you've got staff. So it is going to fluctuate. And if you're not controlling your cash flow, cash is king, like everyone says. A cash forecast is vital. And knowing your numbers, having those monthly management accounts, so you're not just focused on sales, because that's vanity, as they say, but focused on your gross profit, your overheads, controlling your costs, and understanding your balance sheet. And that's where we try to work with our clients. Understand the numbers, look at your cash flow forecast. Don't just look at that bank account. It won't work.
Yeah. What is it they say? Sales is vanity. Profit is sanity.
Sanity. Cash is reality.
Cash is reality. Love it. What about expanding too quickly? Because you said that you've seen that on occasion.
I have, to be fair. And I think you even learn this in your studies when you're trained to be an accountant. It's called overtrading. So a business grows rapidly. Sales are going up and up and up. Profits are going up as well. And then suddenly you run out of cash and you go bust and you don't understand why. It's looking again, it's that cash flow, looking at the timings. We see this quite a lot in construction.
Sure.
Because what happens is your subcontractors are probably paid weekly or fortnightly. You might be working on really big contracts that are paying on 90 days. Well, you've got to feel that cash flow. If you don't have a cash flow forecast and you're expanding, it doesn't work. And I see that more so in the construction side of companies, where they expand really rapidly, get several really large contracts. They don't have the cash flow to support it.
Yeah.
So they don't work.
Just for anybody out there that's thinking, what's a cash flow forecast?
Oh, yes.
How would you describe it?
I think everyone thinks it's some scary kind of thing, which it's actually not. It's what money have you got right now? What do you predict coming in over the next 6 months, 12 months? And what do you predict going out over the next 6 months, 12 months? It really is that simple. And break it down, I'd say week on week for the first quarter. And then after that, monthly. Because obviously the further you go into the future, the more you're predicting. And then keep updating it. We update our cash forecast every single week.
Sure. Yeah, because it's only as good as the numbers that are in there.
Absolutely. And things change. You might take on new clients, you might lose some, etc. Clients go bust, whatever. So it's constantly monitoring that cash flow. And then you'll make accurate decisions. Can I afford to buy? Can I afford to upgrade? Can I get another member of staff? And you plan it in. It's all in the planning.
It's interesting, because I suppose back in the day when accounting was perhaps done, you know, all by hand, all on sheets of paper, filing cabinets, that sort of stuff. And of course, now with the advent of technology.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you mentioned before at the start of the show, things like Xero, things like the online bookkeeping and accounts packages. Mm-hmm. How easy is it now for business owners to be able to manage their numbers?
It's so easy, because with Xero, it's real time. So it links your bank account. So every time any money comes into the bank or any time it goes out, if you work with, like, say, Diamond, we allocate daily. If you're doing it yourself, try and get into that habit of allocating daily.
Sure.
Therefore, your accounts are always up to date. You can always see what your profit's looking like, what your balance sheet's looking like, who you owe money to, what money you owe to the Batman. It just gives you control. It's a fantastic piece of software, because it's cloud-based. So the client can access the data and so can we.
Yeah, so it's all available online.
Yeah.
What about business owners not wanting to invest, because there's this saying, isn't there, that you have to spend money to make money?
Absolutely. Speculate to accumulate or something.
I think that's what they say.
I think the business owners tend to be very nervous about taking risks. And again, it comes back to that fear. They don't want to take a loan. They don't want to take an overdraft. They don't really want to invest in the company because they're too scared of something going wrong. But you can't grow a business unless you're prepared to take risk. Mm. I mean, don't be sort of do crazy risks, but calculated ones definitely. And if it's a shortfall in the cash flow because you've done your cash forecast, you know in 6 months time you're going to have an issue, well then you want to be doing it in advance, negotiate an overdraft advance or a loan to help you through, not waiting till you're already in debt and then trying to get yourself out of it.
Yeah, how many times have you said to a business owner, what's your business plan looking like?
Absolutely.
And it's
like, don't have one.
Which is probably, there's so many people out there that is the case. And it doesn't have to necessarily be this huge, great, big, you know, presentation.
No.
Reams of paper thick, does
no.
it?
I think with a business plan, again, people shy away from it because it's some big, scary document. But it's no different than having a vision board. You know, once you've got that business plan, then you know who your competitors are, what your weaknesses are, and what your opportunities are, and you know where you want to grow your business to. It's literally an enhanced vision board. So stick pictures on it if it makes it easier, but at least know what direction you want to take your business in, have that vision and a clear sort of pattern of where you want to go, if you like.
Yeah.
And that's all a business plan is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just set yourself some targets.
Yeah.
Use the help, Nick.
And away you go.
Yeah.
Simple.
Get yourself in the right mindset.
And go for it.
Yeah, those two fit perfectly together.
They do.
Let's have a chat about your own business journey, because that's, of course, some of the insights that you've had through some of the businesses that you've worked with over at Diamond Accounting. But with your own sort of business journey, you know, what are some of the challenges that you've had to face? Because I know, obviously, staff...
Yeah.
It's been a tricky one.
Yeah, definitely. I think we started off initially as accountants that specialised in the hospitality industry. That's literally how we set the business up. And then we kind of did that in 2019. And then 2020, COVID hit and the first industry they shut was hospitality. Now, I could have just had a complete wobble. I didn't. I took myself back to things that had gone wrong in the past and we changed direction instantly. Mm. Literally overnight. Okay, what industries are open? Construction. I know construction. We'll specialise in construction. So we just went a different route. So that was a challenge, but we reacted quickly. Staffing is always a challenge. And I think we expanded quite fast this year. And I would say to anyone, recruit before you need to. Don't leave it to your really struggling with workload before you go to recruit, because you don't want to grab anyone. It's getting that timing right. We left, I think, recruiting a little bit too late this year and put a lot of pressure on the team, as we are. Lucky we have a strong team and we've got a fabulous team now because we've got new staff and they're all in place. But we could have avoided that by recruiting quicker.
Yeah, a little bit more of a, I suppose, considered approach.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and like you say, you can take your time to find the right people.
Yeah. Having the right fit is so important.
That's really good advice. Hire people before you need them.
Absolutely.
What about timelines, especially where people out there, they might be in partnership or there might be, you know, co-director, and the importance of sort of making sure those timelines are, you know, they match up?
I think that's something we've struggled with in Diamond. There's a considerable age gap between myself and my business partner, Megan. And it has caused conflict, I'd say, probably this year, that we both have the same vision. We both know what we want. She's got a 10-year plan and I've got two. So we've had to work. Well, we're working with a business coach at the moment. It's helped us bring that into line. And she's had to understand that she has to bring it down to the 2 years to work for me. And I've had to understand I'm in for a tough 2 years and life balance might not be quite what I want at the moment. But to get what I want, I'm going to have to go through that bit of that pain factor.
Short-term pain, long-term gain.
Absolutely.
Well, that's interesting about the importance of a business coach, because accountability is, you know, crucial, isn't it, for any business owner?
Absolutely. I think having a business coach, I would definitely recommend, and then make sure you do what they're telling you to do.
Sure.
But coaching in all areas. I have a personal development coach, I have a PT coach, and I have a business coach. Because I think accountability is everything, and holding yourself accountable. Once, like I say, when things went wrong in the past, once I lost that blame and took accountability that it was my mistakes, my life changed.
That's such good advice. And of course, you've spoken before about getting the right balance.
Yeah, I think it's important to have that right balance. I think when I ran ahead figures, I thought to be successful, you had to work all the hours under the sun and started at 6 a.m, worked till 9 p.m, 7-day weeks, no holidays. You just burn yourself out and you don't then focus on the right things. So we try to have a life balance in Diamond. We make sure our staff are always out on time. They take regular breaks. it's very rare for us to ask overtime of them. There are times at the moment myself and Megan are in the office of an evening time, but we limit it to twice a week.
Sure.
And it's very rare. It's kind of in on a weekend now.
Yeah. What a brilliant ethos.
Yeah.
The question I want to know. So let's say, for instance, you were sat opposite somebody right now.
Yeah.
And they were thinking about starting their own business.
Yeah.
They were just on the cusp. They were thinking, I've done the help, Nick. I think I'm ready. What would you say to them? What advice would you give them?
Have some guts. Literally, you need to be ballsy. You need to say, I can do this. Don't talk yourself out of it and just go for it. Because the more you think about things, the more you'll think, I can't do this. And you'll talk yourself out of it and you will regret it. So if you've got a business idea, you've done the help, Nick, it's what you want, then just do it. Just get on and do it. Because otherwise you can sit there planning forever and you're just living in fear.
Completely. I can completely relate to that. I think I tend to overthink things sometimes.
I think we all do. I think we overthink, we get overwhelmed, and imposter syndrome, we kind of talk ourselves, I couldn't possibly do that, or I'm not a business owner. It's losing that fear, believing yourself, absolutely, and be the best version of you. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, just having a scroll through some of your social feeds, there are some great videos that you've put on there from the personal development angle.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend anybody, you know, head on over to the Diamond Accounting socials, because, yeah, there's some great advice there around mindset, and also great video on change and how to sort of deal with change.
Absolutely. I think I'm very big on personal development, but I work with quite a few very successful business owners, and they're also very big on personal development. They read a lot of books and they're always working on it. It's not ever done, but the more you work on yourself and your own mindset, the more successful you will be.
Absolutely. For anyone that might be going away on holiday and fancies taking an inspirational book away with them, have you got any suggestions?
Mel Robbins, anything by her, I think it's absolutely fabulous. Definitely. A book I read recently was Happy Sexy Millionaire. That's really good. He talks a lot about gratitude, of how he became a billionaire and didn't feel the way he did when he was absolutely broke and couldn't understand why, and looked at that. And he also faced a really big business challenge when his business got hacked. And it's phenomenal, although he's young, the way he dealt with it. He just became a leader straight away and worked his way through it. And that's, most people have had a wobble, I failed and given up, and he didn't. He just, fabulous book to listen to.
Yeah.
That and Atomic Habits, another amazing book. Listen to that, because I think with anything, particularly in business, it's all about the consistency. Same with training, same with anything. Be consistent. And Atomic Habits really hits at home. Two fabulous books.
Do you know what? I can't wait to see what's next for Diamond Accounting. I think what you guys do is absolutely brilliant. And thanks. Maria, we're out of time.
It's gone so quick.
Hasn't it? it's been an absolute inspiration, really.
Super.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming into the studio today to talk to us about everything you've been up to, and of course all the mindset, the help, Nick, getting into the right mindset, and just, you know, having that guts, that determination to just go for it. It's fantastic. So if you like that, then please tune on in next week, where I'll be talking to another amazing guest. So that's next week, Wednesday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And thank you very much for listening, Maria. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Matt. It's been absolutely great.
No problem. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose, and remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM, and if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.